everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, ready to kick off a new week and a little cooler. That is the word, you know, after 110, when we're talking of 104 maybe today, it feels kind of downright cool. Maybe not downright cool, but you can tell the difference, at least I think so. It's Buckmaster. We are into, actually, this is the first official day of summer, which is meaningless for Tucson, Arizona. It's June 21st, 2021. 10.5 years now on the radio, right here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio at 10:30, Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located very conveniently over at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. The website's looking real good. It's moesgallery.com. Any kind of framing needs, they will take care of you. If you need some beautiful mirrors for the house, and the art gallery alone is worth the visit over to Moe's. Our team today, John Munger, seated to my right, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, one-time Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Jeff Rogers, seated to my left, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. It was a very, very hot weekend, Jeff Rogers. Do you still do the horse work on this kind of weather?
I do, but I just get there really early.
Yeah,
really
like early. 5 o'clock?
Well, usually more like 6:30 or 7, but and by about 8, I'm regretting it. So it's pretty hot out there.
That is really hard on the animals, too, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah, it's you got to watch their water and keep them hydrated, and it's a tough environment.
And, of course, being dabble with the gardening, John. That week that was, you had to water twice, morning and night, to kind of keep the garden alive.
Sure.
That kind of, when it gets over 110, you got to hydrate the plants.
Oh, sure.
How was the weekend?
Wonderful weekend. Wonderful Father's Day.
Yes.
Spent it at the pool with extended family and went to church, went to the pool, had a great time, talked to all my kids. So it was a great day.
Guys, it's been 170 years since the two-party system in this country really became firmly entrenched, Jeff Rogers. I mean, yes, I know we have the Libertarian Party, we have the Green Party, and there have been some other third parties that have come along in that 170-year stretch. Do you think, Jeff Rogers, the framers of the Constitution— John, also a question for you. Do you think the framers would be surprised that we have just a real two-party entrenched system?
I don't think they would be terribly surprised. And we're mentioning these other parties, you know, they can affect an election sometimes by peeling off some votes.
In a national election with 1 or 2%, yeah, that can affect.
It can affect it. Typically, we see the Libertarians cutting into Republican votes sometimes, and typically we see the Green Party cutting into the Democratic votes sometimes. And we've seen elections that were affected by that, but not very often. But you know, the alternative to a two-party system, I'll give you the most extreme version right now, mm-hmm. is something like Israel. And we've seen two years of virtual gridlock and four elections, and before they finally came up with a thin majority to form a ruling coalition, and it has disparate parties from the right, the left, and the center, and extremists on both sides, and for the first time, one Arab in the party, or in the ruling coalition. So, you know, that's a kind of dysfunctional problem that's probably a lot worse than ours. Now, there are other governments like in Germany and France and Great Britain that are somewhat more functional and have multiple parties like that.
Canada too.
But you know, you do run the risk of turning it into sort of a free-for-all like Israel's experienced over the last couple of years without a two-party system. And I think Right now, more of the dysfunction is caused by the fact that the Republican Party is basically a wholly owned subsidiary of Trump Incorporated. And as long as we have that, you know, we're going to have a lot of problems. And I think the Republicans are going to start to reap what they've sown in their blind allegiance to Donald Trump. I think we're going to start to see, you know, more and more extreme Republicans winning primaries that then cannot win a general election. That may not happen in places like Missouri or Alabama or other places like that, but we did see an example of that in Alabama a couple of years ago when Doug Jones won against somebody who was a Trump endorsee. So, you know, I think this next election in 2022 is going to be a bit of a wake-up call for the Republican Party.
John Munger.
I hope so.
You can't call 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump extreme. So let's get past that. There's obviously a mainstream out there that supports Making America Great Again, MAGA. But getting back to your issue.
My original question.
You've got to understand the difference between our system and the system of Israel, Canada, Great Britain, France, Italy. Those countries do not have an executive. They're a parliament. They're all parliamentary systems. The prime minister of any country is simply one of the elected, what would be congressmen here, who then puts together a coalition of people. Once he's elected, he puts together a coalition of people amongst his parliamentarians and becomes prime minister. We don't have that. We have a president who's elected independently of Congress. So you just have a totally different system here in the United States than we see in all these other countries. I agree that these political, multiple political parties in these other countries that are parliamentary system countries that don't have a formal executive like we do, trying to put together coalitions that last only periodically.
Yeah. And you're right about that, John. And one of the best examples, actually, is Italy. I mean, I remember reading some article saying that since World War II, they've had to form? It's like almost 100.
The problem is those coalitions only last for a period of time, and then they have a different system also than we have. We have elections for Congress every 2 years and 6 years for Senate, and every 4 years for president. It's not dependent upon coalitions. So once a president and a Congress is elected, they're in, unless they're impeached, but they're in. And we don't have to worry in this country about instability that arises from coalitions falling apart as they do in the parliamentary system. Our system lasts for president for 4 years and maybe another 4 years. So we have the ability, on the one hand, to have a consistent policy with the president working with Congress, and they are in office. The parliamentary systems don't have that, to wit, Italy and what we're seeing in Israel. They don't have that, so they're much less able to make consistent decisions over a period of time. They can call an election anytime there's a no-confidence vote.
That's
in
true.
Those countries.
Yeah.
So if the coalition falls apart and the minority members of the coalition go with the other side, they call for a re-election, and that's why they have to have all these re-elections. We've seen several of them just in Israel in the last couple of years. We don't have that.
Would
here.
More parties, though, generate more interest in our political system?
No.
Because after all, we're of all the countries in the world, we're like 50th in terms of voter turnout. I think it's like 50% vote.
Well, it might create more interest, but it wouldn't be more stabilizing for the country. It's virtually impossible to have the same type of system under our unless you wanted to change the Constitution to a parliamentary system. But let me say that we can't have a president here who's having to make superpower decisions, who's subject to a changing coalition of parties.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't work.
Jeff?
Well, I agree. I don't think that would work. And this has served us pretty well for 250 years. And, you know, so I wouldn't be in favor of changing it dramatically like that. It's only in the last few years that we've become so dysfunctional and so at each other's throats. I mean, there have been other periods of time where things have been so a bit dysfunctional, but I think in the last, you know, certainly in the last 4 years, it's been highly dysfunctional. And we can't seem to generate a broad consensus on very many ideas right now. And you know, both parties are deeply entrenched and both parties have extremist elements in them. And those extremist elements kind of tug at the ones who might be more moderate and they lose their moderation rather quickly when attacked from either the left or the right.
John, hold your thought, will you? We're going to take the break right now. I'm so excited to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery and the breakfast that we had yesterday up at Mona's. You would think with this heat that the crowds would be a little bit diminished. No, they were doing very well still in the heat of summer up at Mona's, and that's great to see. Had a couple of eggs over easy, some of the beautiful sourdough toast and the bacon. And then sure enough, Michael, who is the assistant chief baker, John and Jeff, he brings out this tray of cinnamon rolls that were literally right out of the oven. So he says, that, you know, they're warm. Okay. How do you resist that, John?
Yeah,
you
it's
don't.
Pretty impossible.
You know, I had not planned on the cinnamon roll, Jeff, with the breakfast, because the breakfast alone that I ordered was very substantial with the toast and the eggs and the bacon. But adding the cinnamon roll, Ann and I split one, and it just practically wanted to lick the plate. It was that good. But I was saying to Ann, I can't wait to tell the listeners about our breakfast. Oh, it's just absolutely delicious. They're off on Monday. They deserve a break, but they'll be back open 6:30 tomorrow morning. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. And their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with John and Jeff.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Welcome back. It is our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John Munger and Jeff Rogers had, we had a very good conversation in our first segment about the one, basically a two-party system firmly entrenched in the United States for 170 years. And I had brought up the question, would more parties necessarily help turnout? John, you had a couple of quick thoughts.
Well, I do. Number one, remember that we can't do that with regard to the president because of the nature of our presidency. We can't. Multiple parties is irrelevant. With regard to the congressional and Senate seats, remember that we do have multiple parties represented in Congress. We've got a socialist in the Senate. We've got several independents in the Senate and the House. And we do have multiple parties. Remember also, however, that we have primaries. And I don't quote me on this, but I don't think these other countries have primaries. They just have a nominee from their little party convention in their party, and they nominate at their convention their candidates for their parliamentary seats.
So, and typically they call those elections within 90 days, 60 to 90 days.
So,
I think you're right. There would not be a primary.
There's they not a just, primary. So yeah. We have primaries, which within our parties, you effectively have wings of the party running, which are little parties within themselves. So we do have a lot of different points of view represented in our congressional seats, even because we have primaries. So we in effect have that, but the historically the two parties house the main points of view. Both parties are very diverse, and they put together within their parties, their consensus of where they're going. And that's a strength. But we don't have the weakness of these coalitions that are made and then fall apart, which requires a whole new reelection and the instability that comes with constant reelections. I would not favor that system. I think we have a superior system here. I think that once our Congress and our president is elected, we are generally capable of making critical decisions. And yeah, we have debates and we have disagreements, but that was built into our system by the founding fathers.
And Jeff, if the founding—
whole point was to slow things down so that we don't see in these parliamentary elections— one party or a coalition of parties controls everything. They ram it through. There's no check and balance.
And the framers must have thought, well, we don't want to go that route with the prime minister system.
And they had, and since the framers were mostly, you know, from English heritage,
yes,
then they had some idea of how that system worked, and that then they explicitly rejected that. One thing that I'm going to be curious to watch is this experiment with ranked choice voting. Maine did it in the last general election, and it worked out pretty well there. But we're going to see a new experiment in that coming up here in New York City in the primary for mayor. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. There have been a lot of people who've been proponents of it because, you know, sometimes we go into the voting booth and we think, well, I like this candidate the best. I think they'd be the best congressman or whatever. But I don't think they can win, and so I'm going to vote for this other person. Well, in this ranked choice voting, you know, you vote for your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, and maybe even your fourth choice. I don't know. And then, you know, if nobody gets a majority, they peel off all the vote. They eliminate one other person who's dead last, and then they go to the second choices of the voters.
Really?
And since there's like, I don't know, 5 to 7 people running, serious candidates. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this pans out, because it might be an experiment that we like that maybe we ought to take a closer look at in both Arizona and elsewhere.
Well, they use that in California as well, I believe.
Actually, what they're doing in California now is an experiment we rejected. The voters rejected it a few years ago here, because Republican Party and the Democrat Party both were against it, and that was they have a top two system. So you could end up with two Republicans or two Democrats in the final election, in the general election. And that's actually happened in a few cases. And so it really rewards the better organized and disciplined party, because if you got 5 Democrats running for a congressional seat and two Republicans, well, and that's a close district, you might end up with those two Republicans in it. So it rewards discipline.
The point is that our system just isn't set up for, certainly in the presidential arena and even in the congressional arenas, because we have primaries even for congressional seats. We have plenty of ways for people to express their interest and get involved in campaigns without multiple parties and without the instability that comes with multiple parties and the necessity by virtue of having multiple parties of constantly forming and dissolving coalitions, which creates incredible instability in governments.
Well, and we have had third party people who have made a decided effect on an election. You go back to 1992, and
yeah,
what was that guy from Texas, the billionaire? Ross Perot. I mean, he siphoned off just enough votes.
Wasn't he from your state of Indiana?
No, he was from Illinois.
Oh, he's from Illinois. Okay. Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh,
yeah.
quickly, Matt Salmon, someone, Jeff and John, you really know former Congressman Matt Salmon. He's going to run for governor on the GOP side.
Yeah, I really like Matt Salmon. Matt Salmon is an honest guy. He was I've known Matt for a long time. He was in the state Senate. He decided to run for Congress in 1996, along with several other Arizona congressmen. And he, unlike Jeff Flake, he came in with Jeff Flake, and all of them, including Jeff Flake, promised that they would resign after or not run again after 3 terms. Jeff Flake decided that he was indispensable and broke his promise. But Matt Salmon, after 3 terms, said, I promised I'd run for 3 terms and I'm not running again. So he demonstrated his integrity, contrary to Jeff Flake, who continued to run and then became a senator and considered himself indispensable. Matt Salmon's a really great guy. He's a conservative. He's going to run for governor, and I think he'll be a great governor.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think the last time the Democrats nominated a woman to run for governor, we won. And this time it's going to be Katie Hobbs, and I think she's going to have an outstanding chance to win. And the other thing that's going to happen here is probably there will just be a couple candidates in the Democratic primary, but it looks like a bit of a free-for-all in the Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
Got at least 4 announced candidates so far, all of whom, you know, are going to claim some share of that vote. So, you know, it, you know, typically, I remember the first time Deacon Cini won, the Republicans had a highly contested primary that led to sort of disarray, and that's how Dennis Deacon Cini got elected. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're hopeful they have the same kind of disarray again this time around.
Yeah, there'll be no shortage of candidates. Well, the Democratic side, it may just be a kind of a narrow field, but yeah. Certainly be a crowded field on the Republican side. All right, John Munger, good to see you, John.
Good to see you.
And Jeff, good to see you as well.
Hope you're getting better and
healing
up.
Well, this is the five-week anniversary. So started physical therapy last Tuesday, very much like my PT person, and that's going to be important as we go forward. 7 weeks with her, kind of moving my arm around, getting my motion back, but feeling pretty darn optimistic about the future. Jeff and John, have a great week.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and of course on the web at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines right after this.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, of course, well-known for all of the beautiful green things that they have there. It's kind of a hallmark of the business, but also on the 13-acre site, Zocalo Village, five shops, kind of freestanding little buildings that we call Zocalo Village, and those buildings contain some beautiful merchandise from Mexico. Much of it is handcrafted, some beautiful dining room sets. For sure, there's beautiful things from Latin America and some things from Europe as well. ZocaloVillage.com and GreenThingsAZ.com for more. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat representing the 2nd Supervisorial District here in Pima County for his monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Hines, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you doing? I'm
pretty good. Pretty good. Hanging in there 5 weeks since my accident up in Alaska, taking a fall, missing a step, breaking my arm. Talk about a way to start. Aww. Oh, my goodness. What a way to start a vacation,
wow.
Matt Hines.
Not good.
But the good news is through telemedicine, we were in a small area called Seward, Alaska, and Anchorage. The telemedicine has gotten so wonderful in rural areas in America. I just can't say enough about it. These people in the rural settings, Matt, do a great job.
Great. Yeah, I'm glad that you got that kind of care. And honestly, that's really helped a lot to help us navigate the pandemic, even though we weren't maybe all in rural settings. A lot of folks were able to do some of their healthcare maintenance and see some of their doctors and providers during the pandemic safely using telemedicine.
Let's talk a little bit about the pandemic recovery. The Delta variant from India is now in Arizona. I see we've got a little spike going on in cases here in Arizona. And I'm concerned, Dr. Hines, because I look at these vaccination rates and we're barely at approximately half of Arizona residents with vaccinations. I think we're better here, a little bit better in Pima County, but do you share my concern?
Oh, of course. And that's why it's so important that we are all vigilant, that we keep encouraging folks that haven't yet gotten vaccines, which are free, widely available. In fact, most of the vaccine clinics we're doing, there's not even any request for, you know, insurance information or ID, anything like that. So it's so important that people keep getting vaccinated. As we start doing more, as, you know, humans in the society, we're going to see a little bit of, you know, a little spike here and there. We want to make sure that doesn't translate into a large jump in hospitalizations, which could then, of course, lead to a spike in people dying and succumbing to the disease. So really it's making sure that we get as many people vaccinated as possible. And a lot of the folks that haven't been vaccinated, it's not a, you know, it's not a political thing. It's not a particular, you know, resistance to it. It's mostly just they haven't, you know, received the information that they would like to receive about it, or they've just been trying to get back on their feet and focusing on work and supporting their family. And it just hasn't been something that's been a priority. And we just need to, you know, educate and make sure that they understand that we really need folks to do this so that we can open everything up completely and not have any of these spikes.
You know, going to the family physician plays a role here in when you talk with your physician about, are you up to date on shots? The COVID shot now is part of that portfolio, Dr. Hines.
Sure, of course, absolutely. And a trusted physician, trusted care provider for that family has a really an outsized role in making sure that people understand this is safe. It is one of the safest vaccinations we've ever developed, also in record time, and incredibly effective. You know, these are all of the vaccines that we have as options for folks are very highly effective. And even against some of these, you know, the variants are scary because they're different than the original, right? But luckily, we've seen very high activity against even the variants, including the Delta variant, that if people are but fully vaccinated, like just a single shot, if it's a two-shot regimen you're looking at for Moderna or Pfizer, just one shot may not get you the immune response that you need to survive a Delta variant infection, which is why fully vaccinated is so important.
We have the county budget to be adopted, I believe, tomorrow. That's a $2.1 billion, with a B, spending program for the new fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. $350 million in federal grants are built into this budget for COVID-19-related expenses. Will this be money to continue the vaccination program and testing and recovery in our county?
Absolutely. And this is certainly a sizable departure from previous budgets at the county level. We're usually looking at something around $1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. But there is all that extra funding built in anticipation of additional promised and additional federal dollars coming in part for continued testing, as well as, of course, continued deployment of the vaccination. And also there's some undesignated funds that can be used for a variety of things like supportive housing, affordable housing, and other emergency shelter and a variety of activities that the local jurisdictions, including the county and the city of Tucson, are doing now more than ever as we help folks navigate the pandemic-induced economic downturn.
We have 53% of Pima County's population now has been vaccinated. Do you think we can get that up to, say, 60, 65%? Are you confident that can happen?
Yeah, I really am. And I think that the fact that we can now safely vaccinate individuals who are 12 to 17 years of age, which was not possible just a few weeks ago, that's going to help us get there. So, of course, everyone who is eligible, we want to get vaccinated. But overall, getting us to, something in the 70 to 75% range of all of our residents would be where we want to get to. I think we can get there, especially now that we're working closely, that the health department is working very closely with the superintendents of the various school districts, and they have been for months anticipating this happening to make sure parents know the options for their children and understand the safety profile and why it's important, and then can avail themselves of the vaccines for their children.
You work as a hospitalist at Tucson Medical Center. Are you still seeing COVID? Are you still seeing COVID admissions at TMC,
yes.
Dr. Hines?
Yeah, we are, and it's certainly nothing like it was months ago when half or more of my nightly admissions from overnight in the hospital would be COVID patients. In this case, it's one here and there, but I'm still getting, every couple days, every two or three days, is still someone is coming in with COVID. And it's really, again, I've got to remind people that this is something that it's a bit of luck of the draw. If you aren't vaccinated, you can be even a young 20-something-year-old patient that I recently admitted, unfortunately, about a day after he came in. He's intubated and prone, on his stomach, straining those secretions out of the lungs. And, that's still happening. And he didn't happen to get vaccinated, but this is a perfectly healthy young man, right? No diabetes, no asthma, not a smoker, no COPD, no heart disease, of course, not overweight, actually. So none of those things that you normally hear that we see, kind of connection with, none of those applied in this case. And he's fighting for his life in the ICU. And that's that's the kind of thing that, we still see that those cases coming in, not nearly as frequently, but it is important that people understand we still have this virus here. We still have a pandemic. And until we can get those numbers up to 70, 75%, we're really not in a safe place.
Has the team learned a lot of lessons working, you and your team over at TMC, working with COVID patients? Have different protocols been put into place, lessons that have been learned over the past 15 months?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we were all learning about this new disease, this plague, if you will, together, and reading the studies and talking about things and seeing what happened in Seattle or New York or Asia, and then taking that information and trying to, you know, change the way we approach these folks. And during the course of the pandemic, we, you know, certain things at the beginning we don't do now, you know. We did use hydroxychloroquine briefly, and then it didn't turn out to actually do much for folks, and we stopped. So, you know, like initially it was thought that, you know, you should get people intubated really, really quickly. Then it became clear that no, the longer we can keep people off of a ventilator and not intubated, the more likely it is they're going to ultimately survive and do well. And so we've absolutely figured out, you know, and of course the using dexamethasone or other steroids intravenously can help the body's response to the virus calm down a bit so that people can get through it. And so these are things now that are implemented right away as soon as someone comes in with a confirmed infection. And one of the best things is the testing, which a year ago was frustratingly slow. Even in June of last year and May of last year, it was terrible. It was maddening how slow it was for us. And, you know, it was very upsetting for us. That has been largely resolved. We're getting our test results back, even in the rural communities, sometimes in less than an hour, or even minutes. And that has really allowed us to figure out, you know, where the enemy is, like who has the virus, who doesn't. And that's so testing and detection of the virus is, you know, so much better than it was before. And that's really what gives us the intel, the reconnaissance. We know what's going on, and that helps us to fight this.
All right. I want to take a break right here. When we come back with Dr. Matt Hines, talk a little bit about the county budget and pay raises for county employees. Plus, I want to talk about the city and their plan that they move forward for a water rate increase for people in the unincorporated areas. Those are a couple of items that I still want to address with Dr. Hines. When we come back from the break, we'll get right at it. Stay with us.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where it is cooler, that's for sure, with an elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet. It's a great place to visit right now. I always say 10 degrees at least cooler than Tucson, and some days it's more than that. Can be 15, even 20 degrees. 3-hour drive east of Tucson will put you in a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines for his monthly visit on the Buckmaster Show with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That new budget, Dr. Hines, for the fiscal year 2022 does include, it is dedicating about $7.2 million to raise county employee minimum wage to $15 an hour. However, the Sheriff Nanos would like to see the county supervisors, you and your colleagues, go above that and grant a 10% raise to his deputies as an incentive for keeping those deputies and recruiting new ones. Your thoughts, please.
Oh, sure. I think that the county leading the way, and I know that other jurisdictions, the city of Tucson, I know TUSD, this is a goal of TUSD, I think over the next two cycles, to really make sure that there are no employees making less than $15 an hour. I think that is incredibly important, and that, you know, as jurisdictions, we can do that maybe a little quicker than certainly small businesses and other business entities can do that. But I think it's a priority to make sure people are getting a living wage and that they can afford food and housing and more comfortably. And it's about time that we do that. And I'm hopeful, frankly, that the minimum wage initiative that's, I believe, going to be on the ballot for the city of Tucson. I'm supportive of that and hopeful that will pass at the ballot as well. With regard to the deputy pay, I know that recently the city of Tucson made a very large investment in law enforcement salaries, and I think we're still waiting to see exactly how that shakes out and what kind of level of pay raises we're seeing in which areas there. But once we have a better idea there, I would absolutely want to make sure that the deputies are being paid similarly. We don't want to lose any of our talented deputies from the county. And I know, of course, the city of Tucson, TPD, they don't want to be losing their officers to the sheriff, as has been the pattern up until this point.
We have we had a caller, and his question regarding the jail conditions, the actual physical condition of the jail. We had Sheriff Nanos with us a Friday before last, talking about part of the jail. The wall was actually crumbling, and there were some really infrastructure issues that need to be addressed. Are you up to speed on that, Dr. Hines?
Yeah, I've heard some updates as to that information as well, and I understand that that the administrator has now tasked our facilities management team with really getting in there and addressing all of the repairs and the most urgent things, obviously structural integrity and others. So that is something that the county is taking on and addressing because, you know, I mean, you can't, if people are being held in a place that is, you know, doesn't have a wall that's like actually intact, or that's not a good situation.
No,
it's not safe for the correctional officers, and it's not safe for the folks that are in jail, and it's not fair to anyone. So we have to address that.
City Council tomorrow takes another look at the water bill situation, raising water rates. For those of us that live in the unincorporated Pima County area, you and your colleague, Adelita Grijalva, voted the county had a there was a vote among the supervisors whether or not to oppose this. The vote was 3-2. You and Adelita Grijalva said no on that. Some of your thinking real quickly on that.
Sure. And a lot of this is, I'm learning, of course, what the job is. Water is not, at least, you know, potable clean water, it's not, you know, Tucson water, is not within the purview of the county. We have, you know, when you're done with the water, you know, that's when we get it. We have wastewater at the county. So
You get it downstream, so to speak.
Exactly. So, like, in my part, my vote was in part because that's not our thing. We don't have any direct control over that policy, and I want to respect the mayor and the council and their decision. But more than that, just, you know, I think that the most important concept here is fairness. And looking across the state, I think we found one other jurisdiction where a municipal water authority did not have some kind of increased rate if there are users that are outside of that municipality drawing water from that authority. Everywhere else, Phoenix, I mean, it's the standard, truly. So I understand why the city is addressing it, and they are looking at keeping things fair. And also, this will, if the plan goes forward, as I understand it, this will allow for some of the low-income water users outside of the city of Tucson to be eligible to get some assistance with affording their water bills, which is not something they can currently do. So I actually do support the city moving forward if that's what they decide to do, but I also recognize it's really not my vote, right?
The meeting that was scheduled, a joint meeting between the city and county, has been postponed. Would you like to see a regular, perhaps a quarterly meeting of the two jurisdictions?
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I think that the meeting that we had that was more pandemic-focused, I thought it was very productive. We had a really good conversation, and I would like that not just to be pandemic-specific or any just as needed for a certain topic. I like the idea of, you know, every quarter or thereabouts doing this, and if we need to certainly come together as jurisdictions to do something on a more urgent basis, of course, I'd support that as well. But quarterly would be great.
All right. I look forward to our next conversation, our monthly conversation with you in July. Thank you very much, Dr. Hines.
Sure thing, Bill. You have a good one.
Thank you very much, Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor. That will wrap up the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition on the first day of summer. It's actually was below 100 degrees at noon today, so that's an improvement. So we'll take it. On behalf of John Couch, who does a great job engineering and producing my program here on Mondays and Tuesday, Tom Fairbanks is with me Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I got two great guys working for me, and I'm very much appreciative. Have a great afternoon, everybody.